Welcome back. 239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos. We're live from the Sydney and Lois Eskenazi Hospital. You can take a tour of it this Saturday from 10 until 5. This Saturday from 10 until 5, the hospital opens for business on December the 7th. Matt Gutwein is counting down. You got a countdown clock in your office counting down the days. He's president and CEO of the Health and Hospital Corporation. Dr. Lisa Harris is the CEO and medical director. So we're almost there.
We are really close, Amos, and we cannot wait for the moment that our patients come to this hospital and know that they've got a hospital that they deserve, a hospital that treats them with honor, with respect, with dignity, and is there for them, whatever their needs are.
Let me ask the both of you. You've heard some of the comments out in the community. Hey, they're building this so fancy, it's not for me. Address that.
This is built specifically for our patients and their families and for their children. And that's exactly who it's built for. And we are just so looking forward to the day when these halls are filled with our patients, and it's a hospital that's going to work for our patients. It's a hospital that's going to be good for our patients. It's going to be easy to use, a pleasure to use, a delight to use, and it's a place where our patients can be healed. But what we hope is it's more than that. What we hope is it's also a place that that brings everything we know about encouraging people to be healthy and to be well and to not get sick in the first place. And so we are bringing all of that knowledge to bear in every aspect of this hospital so that people can live lives that are optimistic and enriching and full of good health and good life.
Dr. Lisa Harris, and this is not to knock any of the great hospitals that exist here in this city and this community, but it seems like Eskenazi is trying to make a statement that this is a hospital that's designed where the staff is going to work together to treat patients and deal with their families, where we're going to make statements on healthy food, where we're going to make statements on quality of life, where we're going to make statements that all are welcome. Is that fair to say that part of this is this hospital making a statement not just to this community but to the medical profession across the country?
Amos, I would agree with that. I think we, coming on the heels of that 85% affirmative vote, mm-hmm. where our community said that we in Indianapolis believe that everyone deserves to receive care in facilities that are not only modern and efficient, but inviting and inspiring. We took that 85% mandate and we decided that we need to do something that which our community can be proud. And we think that we can set the example here in Indianapolis for what hospitals can be across the country.
Now, a lot of cafeterias and hospitals, they kind of stick them in the basement. They stick them in the side. There's no windows. Sometimes, you know, they farm it out to some fast food place. You guys, when you guys built you don't even call it a cafeteria. You call it, the marketplace.
The marketplace.
It's got a lot of windows in it.
Yeah. Well, and actually, you hit on another important point, and that is that we cook our own food. Since City Hospital was built over 154 years ago, we have always prepared our own food. Mm-hmm. And that has given us opportunities that don't exist when you contract with a vendor. The vendor tells you what kind of food you're serving. So we have always prepared our own food. That gives us a great deal of control. So we can decide if we want to participate in National Kale Day and serve.
Now, will the food improve at Eskenazi? And it sounds like somebody that may have had the food before. And is that a challenge when the patients are used to what they eat at home or what they eat out? And then here they're going to come to Eskenazi, and maybe the food that you're preparing, the healthy food, and they're going to taste it like, we've never had this kind of food because they've not had healthy food.
Well, then
they'll call me up and say, yeah, Amos, the food they got is
Well, I think that's a very good point. And just as we engaged our employees, you made the point about the staff being engaged so the hospital works for the staff who care for our patients. We also engage our patients in helping us create healthful recipes of old family favorites. Okay. So we have we bring people in and we do taste tests. So we work to bring in that comfort food, the kinds of the things that we all turn to,
right.
But to reinterpret that and reproduce it in a way that is healthful. And then we line it up, and people often can't tell the difference, or they like the more healthful option better.
And some of it is little things. There's in the marketplace, in the cafeteria, in the kitchen, you have no deep fryers.
That's right.
And then the vending machines, this is a Coke facility, but the vending machines don't say Coca-Cola, they say Dasani water, and all the soda pop has no sugar in it at all. I didn't even know they made sugar-free Mellow Yellow. I've never heard of such a thing.
Well, and we're
but
saying,
that's what you're making a statement.
We are, and you know, it comes back to what Matt was saying, that we're a level one. With the best of them, but we know that our best opportunity to have an impact on the health and the vitality of our patients and our community is to work to keep people well in the first place. So we have brought every single thing we know about promoting health to bear on the design of this campus and the way that we will operate within it. So we're not saying people can't eat fried chicken. We're just saying that as a health system and a system that is dedicated to promoting health, we're not going to serve fried foods in the cafeteria.
Matt Gutwine, the only art that have been in hospitals in the past have either been painted portraits of the presidents of the hospital or the members of the board of directors, or maybe somebody, found a painting at a garage sale somewhere. We're located in the sanctuary. Which is sort of like the chapel, a place where people can go and meditate and pray here at Eskenazi Health. And just as you enter, there is a G's Ben quilt. And there is a lot of art, and I'm getting ready to meet a couple of the artists here. How critical was it that your walls not just be bland, sterile, boring walls in this facility?
We are so honored and thrilled about the art that is in this building, because medical evidence shows that when patients are exposed to natural light, exposed to nature, and exposed to beautiful art, it lifts their mood, it lifts their spirit, it makes their soul soar, and it makes them heal faster and better. And so we have attempted to fill our halls with beautiful, uplifting art because it brings joy to our patients and their families. So we've got all kinds of art. Sitting next to you, you're going to hear from our artists here in just a moment. So Tim is a local artist that has pieces all around our city, and Tim is
local artist.
Yes,
not somebody from the south of France.
Yes,
local
and,
guy.
And Tim is legally blind, and so he partners with other people in our community to help. And in this case, who he partnered with were our own Midtown mental health patients to help him construct his beautiful and gorgeous piece of art that's on the sixth floor of our outpatient building, the same place where our eye clinic is. And I can tell you lots of our staff and our construction workers have seen his piece, and they love it because it's a beautiful piece. It's an uplifting piece, and they're so proud that one of our local artists produced that piece.
So Tim Ryan, Rick Prout, guys, welcome. So Tim, how did you get hooked up so that your art's in a hospital?
I'm not sure if I actually answered a call for entries or if I was sent an invitation. It seems so long ago that we started thinking about the artwork, but it became very meaningful to me. I mean, every artist wants to put up his artwork, but understanding and hearing the significance that was placed on general wellness and the impact of good design and art and landscaping, not only it's being implemented here.
Granted, this is radio, so it's hard to describe art orally, but how would you describe the pieces that you have here at Eskenazi?
Well, we put up two large panels, ceramic panels. Each is about 4 by 15 foot. and they are abstract art. They're triangular textured tiles with a flow of egg shapes through it. I think that abstract art resonates with a different part of our brains than representational art does. It tends to draw people in more.
So now, Tim kind of starts this out. Rick, you kind of, how do you help in this process? And how do the patients of the mental health center, help give life to this?
Well, the patients of the mental health center actually designed and Tim helped them to create their own specific individual tile. And we incorporated a lot of those into the piece that we have up. As far as the process, Tim is really the genius of the design part. I do the implementation, the execution part.
And Matt Gutwein, not only, is this artwork a collaborative so that patients kind of help design, there's another piece of art in the pediatric wing,
yeah,
where somebody worked and gave kids cameras to take pictures, and then they put them up so the kids' pictures, not pictures of themselves, but pictures they took, are in that area.
Yeah, this is a wonderful piece by an internationally famous artist named Richard Ross. And Richard came here, and he very quickly understood what Wishard Eskenazi is, which what we are is we are our patients, we are our people, and we are our community. So he brought in IPS elementary kids, IPS middle school kids, IPS high school kids, brought them in, talked to them about his art of photography, handed them these beautiful cameras, mm-hmm, and then they went out and took pictures of their world. And Richard just then played the role of assembling those pictures and deciding which ones. But all those pictures were taken by our own kids of this community. And so the piece is gorgeous. It's a beautiful, colorful, exciting, interesting piece that's going to sit there for these moms and kids to look at. But for the young people who took those pictures, they got to work with, an award-winning photographer, and then also their pictures are now part of the art of our own public hospital, the People's Hospital.
When you put this on your resume, Tim Ryan, or whatever artists do to say what it is, how are you going to feel?
Oh, I feel great about it already. And I think this whole collaboration idea emphasizes that not only is art something that everybody can respond to, but there's a spark of creativity in everybody. And the collaboration shows that. Some of the best tiles there were made by the Midtown clients.
239-1310. See, that lifts up the image of Midtown because people hear about Midtown. They couldn't do any art, and then they got this fancy art here. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. Bobby is holding. Bobby, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to know, will Wishard Advantage Insurance will be accepted at this hospital?
Say again. I think I understand you. Say the question one more time, sir.
Okay, will Wishard Advantage Insurance will be accepted at the hospital?
All right. Here's a loaded question. Will Wishard Advantage Insurance be accepted at the Eskenazi Hospital?
Absolutely.
And is Wishard Advantage going to change its name to Eskenazi Advantage?
Absolutely.
So that's coming.
Yes.
So I'm looking in the mail all right. That's a simple question. Let me go to Imhotep at 239-1310. Imhotep, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay, hey, how's it going, Amos? Amos?
Fine.
Amos?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, guest, how you doing?
Yeah, go ahead. We have a couple-second delay. Go ahead.
Okay, no problem. Real quick, I don't know if this is the director, whoever it is. Can you explain to me how can Eskenazi be immune to the financial difficulties that the other hospitals are experiencing? I've got friends that work at St. Francis, St. Vincent, IU Health, and with the downsizing that went on at those hospitals. Also, I was told from somebody on the inside that the old Wishard had 500 and so beds. Don't quote me on the exact number. And this hospital has less beds. So how are you going to accommodate more of the community, which we have a larger Latino population? I have a friend that works at the Wishart Labor and Delivery, talks about our burgeoning Latino population. How are you going to accommodate that growth? And also, do you think it's fair to have folks come and get care? I pay insurance. I pay a lot. And not expect for them to at least pay something, the essence of the Affordable Care Act and the mandate, to at least make someone pay something. And I'll take your answer after there. Thank you.
All right. MOTEP has really three questions. And first, Matt Gutwein, everybody, and we kind of talked about this in the first hour, everybody has heard about the cutbacks at the other hospital empires. And now they see this hospital being built. Is Eskenazi immune to that?
Well, of course we're not immune, but we have no plans for cutbacks. We have for years now operated extremely efficiently. We operate extremely leanly. We are one of the highest quality but lowest cost operators, not only locally but in the country. And so we hire people based very specifically on the volumes of patients through that come see us. And volumes are going up, not down. And so that means we have no plans to have the kinds of reductions or the reductions that others have seen.
Are there less inpatient beds in Eskenazi than in Wishart?
There are more inpatient beds. Correct.
Are there less emergency rooms in this hospital than in Eskenazi?
There are vastly more, and here's why. Because in Eskenazi, every single patient room is a private room. So if you are an emergency room patient, if you are an inpatient, if you're here for a clinic, you will be in a private room. That's not the case at the old Wishart. And as some of our patients know and your listeners know, in the emergency department, we've got these large wards that there are 30 people in the same room that just have a curtain around them. That will not be the case here. So now if you come to our emergency department, you will be in a private room.
Imhotep, the caller, asked another question. This goes to the basic mission of this hospital. When this hospital was created as the old city hospital, it was designed that if somebody could not pay, they just could not pay. They were not asked to pay something. That's the same ethos this time, because the caller asked, Imhotep asked, well, why can't everybody pay at least something?
Well, we do ask our patients to pay something. Right. And we work with our patients so that it's something that is workable for them. And it's often not very much, but it is something. And then if you absolutely cannot pay that, then we, of course, are eager to give you care. But for example, if you're a Wishart Advantage patient and you come for a primary care visit, you know, we ask you to pay $10 for that. Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to give you your care, but it's a modest amount, but we think that's important still.
239-1310, 239-1310, this afternoon's name is Matt Gutwein, Dr. Harris are going to hang a little bit. Rick Prout and Tim Ryan, guys, thanks very, very much for meeting you. Good luck to you. Also, when we come back, you heard, maybe if you were listening in the first hour, you heard that they got a farm at the top of the hospital on the roof. They are growing crops. Now, I don't know how you grow crops when it's going to be 19 degrees outside tonight. Maybe it's winter wheat. Maybe we'll learn how winter wheat grows, and then they'll make bread out of winter wheat. And there also is going to be a park area in the front of the hospital. So when you come and take the tour on Saturday, you're going to say, Amos, the front of the hospital wasn't done yet. Well, it's designed to be done in the spring, not necessarily in the winter, but we're going to talk with the landscape guy. We're going to talk with the Sky Farm guy, which sounds like something I remember from a Star Wars movie. It's After News with Amos. We're live at the Sydney and Lois Eskenazi Hospital. Your opportunity to tour the hospital will be this Saturday, or if you can't make it Saturday, on Thursday on praiseindy.com, we'll have photos from our tour of the hospital with some of the art and the Sky Farm and everything. It's After News with Amos after these. Let me go to Jason right quick at 239-1310. Jason, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, I had a question for the folks at Eskenazi. So will we have to, when you guys switch to Eskenazi Insurance, will we have to, would our information, our financial statements and everything be transferred, or will we have to reapply?
That's a great question. When the name of Wishart Advantage is changed, will they customers have to reapply, or everything gets transferred?
Right. So the name change will not cause people to have to reapply. But, of course, people currently reapply, you know, every – I think it's every year is you have to reapply just to update your information. So it'll be part of the ordinary process.
But it's not a massive change, caller.
No.
Okay. I appreciate it. 239-1310. We were talking before the break, Matt Gutwein, about art as the helicopter tries to practice on the roof. Or that's the VA helicopter. You just did that just for me to have the helicopter try to land. Oh, that's the IU helicopter trying to bogart on the Eskenazi Hospital helipad. Good. So there are minorities that also contributed to the art. The people that go to our website starting Thursday will see some of those pictures.
That's correct, Amos. In fact, 46% of our artists are minorities. 10% of our artists are veterans, 10% have disabilities, and one of our artists was a Wishart patient who will tell you that he would not be alive today if it weren't for Wishart, that Wishart saved his life. So we're so pleased to have him be a participant in our art program. So it's a whole range of extraordinary creative artists that I think is just going to create a really joyful experience for our patients and their families.
This is not just a hospital, but this is also going to be a community collecting point. This is also going to be a farm. They have built a farm, kind of, sort of, on the roof of this hospital, which also the roof has these dazzling views of really the west side of Indianapolis as well as downtown, and it's part of the land collective in Growing Places Indy. Tyler Henderson is with them. He's the operator of the Eskenazi Health Sky Farm. Doesn't even look like he's got a farmer shirt on. That's about the closest thing. So what is the Sky Farm?
Well, it's exactly sort of what it sounds like. It's a farm on the roof. So I didn't come up with the name. Maybe David came up with the name.
They are the landscape guy, right?
Yeah. I think related to, let's say, how I look. I am a farmer, but I don't look what a lot of people would think to be a farmer. And I think as we're reimagining food and farming, it looks something different. And that could be look something as radical as a farm on the roof of a hospital.
But see, now I want to ask him, because usually when I hear something about a landscape architect, that's supposed to be the land on the ground floor, on the ground around the building. I didn't know landscape architects also have the jurisdiction over if there's earth on a roof somewhere, but Philadelphia, but we won't hold that against him. He won the Rome Prize for being the best landscape architect in the known world and several other planets in the solar system, and he was commissioned to design the outer grounds, or the ground surrounding this facility, as well as put a name on the Sky Farm for the roof. How did you get involved in this?
I actually received a call from Matt Gutwein several years ago, and his description of what Eskenazi was trying to do in its breadth of practice and its outreach to the community resonated with me, because, in fact, that's what landscape does for culture. It is a place where everyone gathers, whether privileged or underserved. Landscape is a description of our culture. And so for me, participation at Eskenazi was something that I just had to do to create a comprehensive vision for the grounds, for the common ground that is the plaza outside of the hospital, and for the attitude of actually creating healthful living through the Sky Farm on top of the clinic building.
So when people come through and take the tours on this Saturday, or when this place starts opening for business on December 7th, December 9th, and people come in through the front door, they will still see that area as the only uncompleted thing. It's not that they ran out of money. You're really waiting for spring?
Well, this is such a complex, a whole, and our work often comes last. And Common Ground, which is the plaza immediately in front of Eskenazi Hospital, where people will be arriving, will be completed by the spring. We're going through some extraordinary construction processes, not just in the inclusion of a cafe, which will serve some of the produce generated at the Sky Farm, but also a trellis structure under which people will gather, two fountains, one called Healing Waters, the other called Falls, representative of both the quality of care offered here at Eskenazi, but also the character and cultural symbolism of landscape in Indianapolis and Indiana as a whole.
Now, they were briefing me about this Common Ground, and they were telling me that you're doing something radical, and I'm not sure about this, that you're going to put chairs out there. And I understand these chairs are, correct me if I'm wrong, are not going to be chained down. There's not going to be an electronic. What's to keep you from opening this thing in the spring with the chairs, and you come back 2 days later and all the chairs are gone?
Well, I hope that it will be the belief from everyone that this is that having movable chairs is part of a symbolism for a great culture, that it really is the act of one approaching a chair that might be in the perfect quality of dappled light, and the individual who approaches it adjusts it 3 degrees, sits down in it, and says, "This is mine." That's the perfect representation of democracy in our culture. A person comes onto a public ground and actually makes a place their own. That is what the notion of movable seating in a common area is all about, and indeed largely symbolic of what Common Ground is to Eskenazi and Eskenazi is to Indianapolis as a whole.
Tyler Henderson, what's growing places Indy?
We are a nonprofit started by my wife, Laura, and I 5 years ago, and our mission fits really well with Wishart Eskenazi. It's to for communities and individuals to grow well, eat well, live well, and be well. So this is sort of bottom up, really related to sort of the prevention attitude that exists here.
What is the challenge of growing things on the seventh floor of a building? You know, do the insects that hang in the ground, do they know how to get up to the seventh floor and cause mischief? Do you have to worry about, you know, birds of the sky, you know, swooping down and suddenly figure, oh my goodness, there's a tomato, and you know, and make a dive bomb run on the are there differences in growing crops on the top of a building?
There are. I'm not sure. Found difference, and the thing that we'll have to deal with the most is wind. This was thought about a bit. There's some walls, there's some wind breaks, but there may have to be a bit of trellising that's ramped up to help with the wind. Other than that, I mean, our expertise is in growing food in somewhat strange places, so that's kind of what we bring to bear. We can sort of figure out growing conditions that are non-traditional.
You know, you mentioned wind, and we have been fortunate in Indianapolis that we have not had extremely severe storms the last 3 or 4 summers, but we're right here on I-70, you know, we're on Tornado Alley. And Matt Gutwine, do we need to, does this, you know, there's a lot of glass in this building. This building is kind of, you know, open. It is one of the worries in terms of severe weather coming through here?
Our architects and engineers tell us, no, we don't have to worry about that, that this is a very safe, very secure building, mm-hmm. and the materials are good, solid, high-quality materials, and this will be a very safe building. In fact, I would feel much more confident in this building than trusting the old, worn-out systems that we have in our old building with electricity that goes out and pipes that burst and heat that sometimes works and sometimes doesn't. I'll take this building any day, Amos.
Now, David Rubin, I understand you have designed you couldn't have won a prize with the name of Rome in it if you hadn't designed some great spaces. I understand one space you designed just had a tragedy the other day. It was Bryant Park, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, in New York. That was something that you had a part of?
Well, that was one of the designs of my old practice called Olin, and yes, we were a part of that opportunity to reconfigure that park from a needle haven into one of the nation's most extraordinary public spaces.
So what if I was traveling around the world, you know, and I can say, okay, I've gone to Common Ground in Indianapolis, where else do I need to go and check out your work?
There's work down in Washington, D.C. at 17th and Constitution. There is a new levee that is being implemented on the National Mall that is both a stormwater management system but also a place-gathering structure where people can gather with on the mall.
How do you build a levee when there's no river in 17th and Constitution is nowhere near the Potomac?
Well, actually, when it comes to current conditions and global warming, there is the threat of the Potomac rising up and actually informing the Federal Triangle where Obama is. So our goal is to actually protect him as much as possible in the rest of the city. There's also Canal Park in Washington, D.C., an extraordinary three-block-long park. There, as well as Lenfest Plaza in Philadelphia at the Pennsylvania Academy of the Fine Arts. These are all places that Land Collective has practiced.
We talked about crops, and, you know, and I kind of jokingly said, you're not planting winter wheat, are you?
There's a little bit of winter wheat there right
now. Really?
It's for a cover crop. We won't actually be harvesting it.
So what kind of crops will be on the Sky Farm?
So this coming season will be the first season, obviously, because the hospital's opening. So we're going to sort of run... We're going to run a lot of crops through there to see what works, to your point, sort of how, what are the differences on a roof. So this is going to be everything from root vegetables to leafy greens to fruiting vegetables. And then in year two, sort of pare it down to the things that grow the best, grow most efficiently, and that are really wanted within the hospital.
Corn doesn't work because it would grow too tall and the wind would blow it over.
Correct. Plus, it has a really low yield, so we're only on 5,000 square feet, so we also need to think about crops that are efficient from a harvest standpoint.
All right. Matt Gutwein, Dr. Lisa Harris, guys, thank you guys very, very much for being with us, and David Rubin and Tyler Henderson. I have to come back and do a show in the spring out at the little thingamajig with the cafe.
Please do.
We'll do all that.
We would love to have you there, and it would be a great opening experience.
All right. When we come back, Dr. Kane is here checking on my health. Even though the hospital is wonderful, I could go in there for a day just to hang in one of the rooms. And also, the folks from mental health are here. It's Afternoons with Amos. We're live from the Eskenazi Hospital. And mental health is also a part, inpatient mental health is a part of the new Eskenazi Hospital. Aileen Morris, Danny Polymer here, Linda Lynn is here. Guys, how important is this inpatient facility and with all of the care and the little things that were done to enhance patient care in their families, how does that work with the mental health unit?
So on the Kathy and Bob Postlewaite Mental Health Recovery Unit, right. We've been able to implement a lot about what we've learned about what recovery is, mm-hmm. And what that means for our clients, because our current unit, the inpatient unit at Wishard Health, wasn't afforded a lot of those opportunities to deal with things such as natural life, mm-hmm. or natural light, and a lot of the options for patients to have in spaces. So that's one of the focuses of the Mental Health Recovery Center, is to afford our clients what we've learned about recovery with giving them their own personal spaces and areas to go to.
Aileen, how important is that the rooms and the space in the mental health unit is just like all the other units and all the other floors in this hospital?
I think with our focus, it's being recovery for mm-hmm. patients. It gives them a very good outlook on their recovery. They have the individual spaces. They don't have to be cramped. They have, like he said, natural lighting. I'm a social worker, so I do groups. They have their own individual group rooms, therapy rooms where we can do therapy comfortably. Confidentiality. We have separate areas from where the patients is. Mm-hmm. So it's very important.
And Linda Lynn, from a crisis intervention standpoint, you know, this kind of facility, I mean, all of this light and this airiness and the staff kind of working together, how does that help in terms of improving someone's mental health?
Well, I think for us with crisis, and we have 20, we'll be able to expand our walk-in crisis 24/7, and we have a triage unit where we can have people stay overnight for observation, for stabilization on medicine, for more assessment. We're going to have so much more space than we have now. And
so does this mean, let's say for the sake of the argument, let's say, you know, if a family member maybe having a mental health crisis, and before, if it was 2 o'clock in the morning, there may not have been any place for them to go or do an intervention. Now they could come to Wishard if it's 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, we've had the capacity to see people 24/7. We do now, but after 8 o'clock, they have to route through the emergency room. So that's 24/7, just crisis, so for walk-in capacity. And our triage area is going to expand. We currently have 7 beds now, which is kind of like an emergency, psychiatric emergency room. That will be going up to 10 beds, and we're going to have a lot more space for people. And also for the staff, we're going to be a little better co-located so we can respond quicker and better.
Co-located, that's that fancy word for everybody's together.
I think that is a fancy word for that, and it hopefully makes us better at our work and cooperation and information sharing.
And Dr. Virginia Kane, how does this facility and this emphasis on collaboration and working together and making people feel good even when they're coming into a medical facility where maybe physically they're not feeling good, how does all of this work in public health?
So it's a tremendous thing because as Ignazi's new model of care, they really primarily focus not only on primary care but preventative care in order to try to get ahead of the illnesses. So a lot of focus on prevention and probably a little bit greater in a lot of community engagement in making that happen.
I asked Dr. Harris earlier, is this hospital, this facility, setting a new standard for hospitals? I got to ask you, as a veteran public health official, is this hospital setting a new standard for public health?
So definitely, without a doubt. And actually, it started even before the building of this new hospital, but it's just going to get so much national attention for its focus on preventative health in line with treatment. You know, the Affordable Care Act is going to impact almost everybody, and the reason why it's going to impact everybody is you now have the option of getting preventative things at no cost. So people can get blood pressures, get their cholesterol checked, even diabetes. But, hey, you know, Amos, you're a little gray here, so there may be a point that you may require cleaning out of your...
A little gray. She's trying to be...
Getting that colonoscopy. You know how much that costs us? Almost like $2,000.
She's working on me.
The Affordable Care, people now may have that ability to get that colonoscopy done. Women who delayed getting their mammograms can now get that free.
So that's the public health officer telling everybody to be healthy, and that's why we have a new hospital.
You know, I want to commend you today. I didn't see no potato chips on the table today.
I hit them, that's why. Dr. Virginia Kane, thank you. Thank everybody here. And your opportunity to see the new Sidney and Lois Eskenazi Hospital is this Saturday from 10 to 5. And it's on 10th Street between Indiana Avenue and White River. That's the easiest. That's right next to the VA hospital. And don't assume, I'm never going to be sick, so I don't need to come. You're paying for this hospital. You voted for this hospital. You need to see it. But if you can't get to the hospital, we will have pictures and stuff on our website, praiseindy.com, starting on Thursday. Tomorrow, we will talk to the young people building robotics. Maybe they can build some robotics that they can use over here at Eskenazi Hospital and stuff as part of the city's robotics thingamajig competition.
I was just at the Girl Scout luncheon today, and one of their gold award-winning girls was in robotics, and what an incredible job she has done. So, hi, guys. You know women can do robotics, too.
Hopefully they'll have some women robotic people that we will talk to tomorrow. I'm Amos Brown. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow live at 1.